Hi, Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Ashley Flowers.
And I'm Britt.
And today's mini episode is another one of those where you have to be the judge. Was Leslie Mueller's death a freak accident or was it murder? Leslie and Fred Mueller were a married couple with a seemingly wonderful life. They had a big family, good jobs. She was actually one of the, or actually the first OBGYN in her area. So she was like a boss lady.
Awesome.
They had a beautiful home and they were even well off enough so they had a vacation home in Colorado as well where they lived. And they'd go to like ride the horses there in the summer. They'd hike. They'd go again in the winter to enjoy the snow. One Sunday afternoon in early May, the family was up at the vacation house. They'd gone to church, come home, did some work around the house, and then Fred and Leslie decided that they wanted to go on a hike. And now they didn't plan on going alone. They had actually asked their teenage son to come with them. But he'd gone to church. He'd been like working around the house and he's like a teenager. He didn't want to, like he just wants to chill at home.
And probably didn't want to like hang out with his parents all the time.
Yeah, like it's his vacation too. So they decide that they're going to go on their own, never realizing that one of them wouldn't return. No one knows for sure what happened when Fred and Leslie walked up into the mountains. All we know is what happened when Fred came running down calling for help. Fred comes down the mountain and calls rescue workers who later found Leslie's body caught under a fallen tree in a creek. Rescuers were first on the scene, but they were soon followed by investigators. And the first investigator on the scene said, "This is no accident. This is cold-blooded murder." When the investigator talks to Fred, his story is that he and his wife had gone down to the edge of Cottonwood Creek. And he tells the investigator, "You know, we were just snapping pictures. Like there's this beautiful waterfall in the background where they were." And mind you, at this time, even in the pictures that they took, you can see there's still like some snow and some ice on it, on like on this area that they're standing. So it might not be like the best, most safest conditions to be getting close to a ledge and taking pictures. But he says that they're snapping pictures. And he actually tells Leslie, like, "Okay, get one with our dog." So she kneels down, and I'm actually going to send you a picture because this is one of the last photos taken of her. She kneels down with the dog. He snaps her picture. And if you look at it, Britt, like, she looks happy. She looks fine.
Yeah, it looks like every picture of me trying to get my dog to cooperate in a picture.
Yeah, she's like, "Just hold your head still." But what I notice is there is snow in the picture, but I don't really see any at her feet. Do you?
No, the ground that she's on looks actually pretty dry.
So he snaps this picture, and then his story is that a bird flew by and startled their dog. And as the dog gets startled, Leslie starts to like try and get up, but she's kind of moving backwards. And then eventually he says she falls over. And here's Fred kind of telling the story himself.
"It's like it just happened in slow motion in front of me, where she falls just like she just dove and lands on the rocks right by the water. She just did a swan dive. Just like head and shoulders, and just glides like mush into the channel. I'm screaming her name, I'm hollering, I don't know what I'm doing. And next thing I know, she's out of sight, and I can't really see where I can get to her. She's just face down in the water, head first going downstream."
Now, here's the interesting part to me. So Fred goes on to say that when she fell, he heard a terrible thud, like she crashed against a rock. And then he says she was swept away by the water, swept away 50 yards to where she was later found. But when Leslie's body was examined, this doesn't seem right to police, because not only did she have zero broken bones, but she had no visible signs of injury whatsoever.
So she just died?
So died from drowning, I think. So, but what they're saying is, I mean, if you look where they're up in that picture, it's pretty high up.
Yeah.
And they're saying that basically she took a fall off of that. He's saying she hit a rock, then went into the water and died of drowning. But without having any broken bones, without having any scratches or bruises or any sign of injury on her outside of her body or internally, like from a fall. So she does end up in the water. She dies because she's in the water. But like, there's just no evidence of her falling whatsoever. It's just like a little bit weird. And the way he described it is also a little bit strange. I mean, he said she took like almost a swan dive off of a cliff, which is to me a weird way too, especially if she was like falling backwards, for him to describe it that way.
Right. That seems pretty intentional.
Yeah. I know people's memories often like get, you know, a little bit fishy or like switched up.
Or exaggerated.
Yeah, in times of trauma. So maybe like that is what he saw, but it was a weird way to describe it, because she's not going to swan dive off the side if she's falling. So in addition to this, which seems kind of fishy, investigators couldn't really understand how Leslie even got swept away by the water. Under where she fell, there was a 6-foot wide rock. So if she had just slipped, like, you're not pushing off, you're not doing anything like that, they would have kind of expected her to be on that rock right underneath where she fell. So you don't usually see people accidentally fall and then like go 6 feet out. It was a little bit strange. So not only was the physical evidence not adding up, but police were getting all kinds of bad vibes from Fred himself. They said out of nowhere, before they're even talking murder, Fred's like, listen, I have no reason to kill my wife. I have no girlfriend. And me and my wife had sex today.
Yeah, that's fishy. But I'm sure he was also getting vibes that they were looking at him as a suspect, right?
I mean, I'm sure. I don't know how subtle these investigators were being. So I could probably see how they're like asking maybe too many questions. Maybe he's been in there a couple hours too long and he's getting tense. And like, to me, that would be kind of normal. And he went on in the interview to say, listen, we have insurance policies, but they kind of go to our kids' like trust. Like, I don't really benefit from the money. So that's not a motivation for me to murder my wife. Like, why are you asking me questions? But the investigators never thought money was the motive. They just thought that he got bored with her. They had been married since they were 19 and 20. And he was basically over it. Like, and apparently he'd always told people that divorce was not an option for him. So it's a loose motive. Maybe they don't like his attitude. The story isn't 100% adding up to them, but there's more that sways their opinions. So while they're kind of investigating the scene, they find Fred's glasses broken just 15 feet from where Leslie supposedly went over. Now, I'm not sure what this means, if anything at all, but police think that this only could mean one thing. To them, it means that there was some kind of struggle. Like, if she had just fallen while you were taking a picture, there would have been space between you. Why would your glasses come off and then break? And this idea of a struggle is fueled by the scratches they see on Fred's face. And it seemed like every time they talked to him about these scratches, his story would shift. At first, he was saying, well, this, I must have gotten them when I was like running as she fell and I went down to get help. Like, I'm running through bushes. Maybe that's how I got them. And then the second time, he's like, well, you know, when I went down to go see her, maybe it was when I was climbing out of the creek. And then at one point, and this is like a year later, like back when they're like at trial or whatever, like he even suggests maybe I self-mutilated, like maybe I was just like so torn up and didn't know what I was doing that I scratched my own face. Which, possible, maybe?
I guess I'm just not sold on any of the stories, to be honest.
So the police come up with their theory of events. They think that a picture was taken. And after the picture, he lunges forward and tries to push Leslie off of the cliff. And then Leslie starts fighting for her life. So she's struggling. She's scratching him. She knocks off his glasses. They have this scuffle. She scratches him, like I said, and then that gets her like broken away. And so she's able to flee down this path and go kind of parallel to the creek. And they think he must have just been like a couple of seconds behind her. And when he catches up with her, she's running alongside the creek. He pushes her in and then drowns her and then moves her body to where it was found underneath that like fallen tree, kind of like lodged there. Now, it's worth noting as we talk about this investigation and the trial, from all of the interviews that I have seen, none of their kids, who are all older adults, like none of them believe that their dad had anything to do with this. They all say that their parents were in love and this had to have been a terrible accident. Now, for a long time, this case was in a weird limbo. The police believed he murdered Leslie, but it seemed like a really tough case to prove. So no one clears him, but they don't file charges against him either. Now, in this time of limbo, as I'm calling it, Fred reconnects with an old friend. And by 2010, this is just 2 years after his wife's tragic death, he's already remarried.
Okay.
Fred and his new wife spend 2 years married, happy, living their lives, no idea that there's something brewing just beneath the surface. The DA had been putting together a case against Fred, and by February of 2012, they were ready to make an arrest. Fred would spend the next year in jail awaiting trial, all while his new wife and kids are standing by his side saying they never had a single doubt about his innocence. When it was finally time to present their case, the prosecution took 4 weeks to lay it out before a jury. They presented, like, their biggest piece of evidence, I think, was a video recreation and this water flow expert, basically showing that there's no way Leslie's body could have gotten where it was by falling from where he said it did. So they had this like dummy recreation like body, and they would throw it over the cliff different ways each time. And what they're saying is that, first of all, it shouldn't have even made it into the water. That 6 foot like long rock underneath would have caught it. But for argument's sake, they said even when we put the dummy into the water or like push it out far enough, it would always just sink to the bottom right where it fell. It doesn't get like fully carried off by like the stream and the river, and doesn't never ended up where Leslie ended up. But the defense comes back though and rebuffs this and says there's absolutely no way you can recreate this with any kind of degree of certainty, because, I mean, first of all, this is like a year later and the conditions in nature change from day to day. Like, how do you know you have the same water levels? Like, you didn't take measurements the day of. Like, there's no way you could prove to us that this is exactly the same, which like I kind of agree. And like,
yeah,
the Disney version of Pocahontas once said, like, the thing I love most about rivers is you can never step in the same river twice. Like,
good job.
So yeah. So I think like it's a totally valid point for them. So that was kind of a wash, but the prosecution had more. They brought up a witness who said that talk of divorce had come up between Fred and Leslie, but Fred had said it was not an option and he would never let a woman tell him when he could see his own kid. So maybe that's a little bit of motive, but again, it was just that he was bored of her and didn't want to get divorced. Like, it's, I think it was hard for the jury to accept, a little bit hard for me to accept that it's the only motive, and has to be why his kids and everyone else in his life is still standing by him. The prosecution talks about the glaring lack of injuries. Like, this is their other main point. And admittedly, this is the thing that kind of sticks with me the most. But the defense also had a rebuttal witness for this. They called a veteran emergency room doctor who said that he's treated people who have suffered even more serious accidents, like car accidents, all these different things, and they didn't sustain broken bones either. So this witness is saying it is possible, like, yes, unlikely, but people can take a severe fall or get in some kind of accident and not have broken bones to show for it. Now, Britt, you're a veteran crime junkie, so their next witness that they bring up, you might recognize the name. So they brought in Werner Spitz. Do you know who that is?
Of course I know who Werner Spitz is. He is like this super rad investigator, expert witness. He's done a ton of really high-profile cases, like JonBenet, and he pops up in a ton of documentaries and different stuff like that. So definitely someone that a crime junkie should know.
Yeah. So he gets on the stand too and basically says, looking at the evidence, looking at her body, it's his expert opinion that this is a total accident and not homicide. So with all of this information, again, like there's points, counterpoints, the jury goes to deliberate and they hit a wall. They argue, they get mad. And eventually they end up coming out and telling the judge, like, we cannot come to a decision. And the judge asks, listen, give it one more shot. Please go back in. And they try, but they are absolutely deadlocked. And the first case ends in a mistrial. And what hung them up was, how did he do it? Like, they poked holes in his story, but they didn't provide any kind of alternate story, really. Like, they felt like the prosecution definitely poked holes in Fred's story. Like, what he was saying happened probably didn't happen that way, but they also didn't provide any, like, real solid alternate story of what happened. There's a lot of, like, well, maybe, and then maybe, but I think what they were looking for is more of a narrative.
Right.
But what we find out, though, is the actual, like, votes were 11 to 1 for an acquittal.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was only one holdout for guilty, and it was this guy. And he said, listen, the guy's guilty because none of the evidence supported his story, which I totally get. But in this case, like, especially in the first trial, it was really hard for me to see how there was, for someone, no reasonable doubt. It seems, at least to me, that this case is riddled with reasonable doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
10 days after the first trial ended, the prosecution decides that they are going to retry him. And just 8 months after the first trial, a new venue is secured so they can do a second. And trial two is more of the same. The prosecution pushed even harder on motive, and they brought up a woman who they kind of insinuated had exchanged some maybe questionable texts with Fred, like she'd been in his life, and they tried calling her the other woman in his life, but you know, when they really grilled her, the defense was like, okay, you can call it whatever you want, but did you guys have any kind of real affair? And she's like, no, we definitely did not. This isn't the woman he ended up marrying. So they're like, okay, cool that you're trying to make it seem like he was going to leave his wife for this other woman, but nothing happened with them. So I think prosecution wanted to give people more of a reason of why, and they thought that would help, but that kind of fell apart pretty quick in trial two. Now, the defense did bring up a good point in the second trial that I hadn't really heard in the first. And if we go back to, like, her not having injuries or, you know, not having any kind of visible sign of injury on the outside or inside, the prosecution is saying that, like, that's pointing to the fact that it must be murder. Like, if she would have fallen, she would have had broken bones, she would have had scratches, lacerations, whatever. But the defense is saying, okay, that's fine. But if your version of the story is that she had a struggle with him, a struggle that broke his glasses, and she scratched him, and then she's running from him, shouldn't she have some injuries from that? And I think that really stuck with the jury, because I think that's kind of right. Or do you think she could have had a struggle with him and gotten away with no defensive wounds?
It seems unlikely, in my opinion.
So those are really the only two new things. The trial goes on as planned before. It's a lot shorter this time. There's only 7 days of trial, 30 witnesses, and just 12 hours of deliberations before the jury comes back. They are deadlocked again.
No.
This time, there were 8 guilty votes and 4 not guilty. So with this, I mean, I think everyone felt really frustrated. Fred is tired of being tried over and over and over. His family's frustrated for him being tried over and over for what they're all saying was a tragic accident. Like something so horrible happened in their life, and now they're just being put through something so horrible again. And the prosecution and the investigators are frustrated because they think this guy is getting away with murder. But after two deadlocked juries, they decide that they are not going to try him a third time. And so Fred is living his life, and that's the end of the story. So, Britt, any thoughts?
My head is spinning. My jaw is on the ground. I have no idea what to believe in this case.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I think they can still reserve the right to retry him, but I also think if you're going to do it, you have to do it in a certain time of the trial, so maybe they lost that as well. So I don't think this is something we'll ever see come up like years later. I think there was mounds of reasonable doubt, and again, for me, I'm kind of stuck on motive. Like there didn't really seem to be a reason. They both seemed happy. They both seemed successful. If their kids didn't see anything in their marriage, their friends didn't see anything bad in their marriage.
Yeah, there were like no red flags for any reason. No one came out and was like, oh yeah, it was actually super dark and super unhappy.
And you know, we talk about family annihilators all the time. Like, yes, is it possible that he didn't need a real reason and he was just over it? Sure, maybe. But it's really hard, again, for me to believe in like the confines of like my normal thinking.
Yeah, I'm right with you there.
So listeners, we want to hear your thoughts. Let us know what you think. Was it an accident or was Leslie murdered? Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?